not going to let you go, Steve. I'm going to ask you to sing a song that you wrote. You went through Bible college, and then something seriously dramatic happened in your life.
Yes.
Tell us about Jordan, and then how that you went to God, and because of part of your Bible school training and everything else you went, you were able to write a song. And that gifting that's in you really came to the top in your darkest hour.
Yes.
I'm asking you to tell a story. I'm asking you to sing a song. I now put you on the spot. But you know what? We used to travel all over the world and do this. We went to Singapore together, South Africa together. We traveled all over. We even went to the country, Texas. We went there.
Yeah. That was the strangest one.
Wasn't it?
We went to, yeah.
Okay.
Bible college did put a huge foundation in my life, and I'm glad that it was there when the time came. My son, at the age of 7, was diagnosed with cancer, and he was diagnosed at stage 4 when they found it. And we were at the hospital, and Henry and Jackie had come to the hospital with us as well. When we had gotten the results back from the tests, you know, they thought it was appendicitis, which was, you know, believing not for appendicitis, and once we got the word back that he was battling cancer, then it was like, I want appendicitis, that's easier to handle. But we went into the prayer, they had a little chapel at the hospital, and while we were praying, you know, my mind is going to miles a minute, you know, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you need to go to, and had this huge, the biggest Bible I think I'd ever seen in my entire life. This thing was like this thick. Was huge. He says, go to Malachi
chapter 3. I think it was King James' actual Bible.
I think so. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, which I'm thinking to myself, that's the tithing scripture. I know the tithing scripture. I've been tithing for years. And he says, go read it. And so I get up and I'm flipping through it. I'm reading it and going through it. And I'm thinking, it's the tithing scripture. He says, read it again. So I got about the fourth time through it, reading it. And the Holy Spirit clicked it to me that there's a part where it says, if you bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that God will open up the windows of heaven and bestow a blessing upon you, large enough that you will not be able to hold it because it's so huge. And not only that, and in the words, basically, that's not enough. God says that that's not enough, that he would rebuke the devourer for your sake and that your fruit would not fall to the ground before its time. And
I know it's tough. And I know I put you on the spot.
God is so amazing. Holy Spirit says, Jordan is the fruit of your loins, and he will not fall to the ground before his time. And I grabbed onto that with everything I had on the inside. Turns 26 this October. Doing well.
Wow.
But during that time, tithing just meant so much to me. And it wasn't because I have to tithe. It's because I get to tithe. It's a total difference. I don't have to tithe. I get to tithe. God has made this avenue where I can take something physical and I can give it back to him and bless him back type of thing. And I still get blessed from it back. That's just the type of God that he is. And so I said, God, help me write a song about tithing. Because people just don't understand tithing. They don't understand the power behind it. They don't understand how precious it truly is, and that's the song that I wrote. So it's been a while, so I'm hoping I can remember all the lyrics to this one. I'll give it a shot. Thank you, Jesus. It's not a bribe, it's not a payoff, but a token of thanks for all you've done for me, Lord. It's not a tool to manipulate you, but a gesture to show I've put my trust in you. Here's my tithe, a part of my life, only 1/10 of the substance I have. Here's my tithe, showing the universe you are the source, you are the source of my supply. Yes, Lord, it's me, McHenry, Steve. And I thank you, Lord, I survived this last week. Lord, it was tough, money not enough, but I purposed and planned to give you my best, and here's my tithe, a part of my life, only 1/10 of the substance I have. Here's my tithe, showing the universe you are the source. You are the source of my supply. Lord, I don't care what this world throws at me. You are my source, and I will give faithfully. Here's my tithe, a part of my life, only 1/10 of the substance I have. Here's my tithe, showing the universe you are the source. You are the source. You are the source of my supply.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Steve. Wow. I never fail to get moved when I hear that song. It's just, it speaks volumes, absolutely speaks volumes, because we recognize God as our source. And very often the supply is random, and very often it's unexpected from where it comes. But if we'll remember, it came from Him, and we acknowledge Him, and when we give our tithe, we acknowledge Him. God, You are the source. This comes from You, and I'm thanking You for it. And I believe, honestly, with all my heart, that Steve's heart and his passion and his faith and faithfulness was one of the reasons that he was able to stand with together with his wife, and for Jordan to be alive and married. Has he had children now too? Not yet. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. So let's go ahead and receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Thank you, Lord. While you're filling in the envelope that's near you, we do use credit card and debit card as well if you'd like to. Cash, put in the envelope. Please put your name, print nice and clearly for us. So our God's plan for your life got off this morning for a good start day, Pastor Brian. Amen. I think we had 9 or 10 people in the group. You have a few slots left, so if you'd like to join next Sunday, you can. It's 9 o'clock. It's right here in the Children's Church area. It's a special room set aside, coffee and muffins and that kind of stuff. If you do want to join, wave your hand real quickly. We have 2 or 3 spots left, and then make sure you see Pastor Brian afterwards so we can put you in. And if you want to get the book, that book is $10. It's available at the back right over there. Are we ready to give and ready to receive this morning? Amen? Okay, we're ready. Thank you. Go ahead and let's receive the offering. Thank you so much. Concerning the Bible College, some of the courses we're busy working on, we're going to be doing things like how to pray effectively. We're going to be talking about praise and worship and the true spirit of worship, because it's an important part of Christian life. Prayer is a vital part of Christian life, and we need to go through the various acts, different kinds of prayer, so people understand that. We're going to be teaching on faith, which is, you know, huge. I mean, without faith, you can't please God. We're going to be doing God's Plan for Your Life, the book as well, as discipleship course, healing school, Holy Spirit seminar. We'll study law, license, grace. As you know, we're a grace church, and we will be looking into that in some detail, the name of Jesus, new covenant realities, and also rightly dividing the word. There was a series I did recently when I did the various covenants and so on and so forth. It was a really complicated, I think now in retrospect, it was too complicated for a Sunday morning. And so we moved that into the Bible school, and we'll go back through it again in the Bible college. With them, we're also going to do the book, Your Rights to Riches. Also, what's not on there, I know we didn't put everything down on there, we're going to be giving this book out, which is my book called Yes, You Can. I honestly believe that this is the greatest book written on renewing your mind. And I'm not saying that to brag, but I do mean that because in this book I cover how to deal with emotions. I cover things like, have you been offended, and dealing with offenses. And I talk about man's power of choice. And then how you can overcome and conquer the fear of failure, how you overcome procrastination, how you can do proper management of your time. It's a lengthy book, and it covers a lot of material. But some of the most important things, I nearly called this book Renewing Your Mind. I nearly did, because I honestly don't believe that people, Christians, can succeed in life until they get renewed from the inside and change the way they think, because it's your stinking thinking that will keep you down below God's level of what God wants you to have. It's a way that you think that stops you from moving into that realm. The Bible says a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so I cover a lot of that material in here. It's, as I said, it's about 250-page book, and this is also something that we will cover in the Bible school. So we're going to be covering a lot of material. It's six trimesters. I don't know what the word is for semesters that are six. I don't know what that word is, if there's such a word. I know semester means two, trimester means three. Hexagon? That doesn't sound good. I don't think I should say we're going to do hexagon. You know? Huh? Two trimesters. I'll go with two trimesters. Okay, so, the course to register is only $50, and then it's $300 for the first family member, $200 for the second. You'll need to use an iPad or a laptop, okay? Watch yourself now. You've had your turn. Because we're going to give you the notes electronically. And, you know, just remember this, that this course is not set up to make you fail. The course is to impart knowledge to you and to get you to apply the knowledge. So the exams are really easy. Put it this way, I've never had a person fail in the thousands and thousands of students that have gone through. It's not set up for you to fail. It's set up so that you can actually gain the knowledge. And so most of the exams are true-false. You just have to choose true-false, about 20 questions. So most of you should score at least an A. You probably get the best results you've ever had in your life. This is time to be a straight-A student. Okay? All right, so that's enough about the Bible school. So if you haven't turned in your application, please do so as soon as possible, because we need to get talking to the guys that are applying. Well, let's get to the Word this morning. And we're going to talk about prayer this morning, just a little bit. As I was preparing the Bible school this week and looking through the notes on prayer, I felt just inspired to talk to you a little bit about prayer and how that we can pray with confidence. How we can pray with confidence. Let's first of all talk about the reasons why we pray. What is the reason that you pray? Probably because you think it's the right thing to do. Because you were raised knowing that there's a higher power and that you need help from the higher power. Perhaps you're raised to pray because it shows compassion for the person you're praying for, right? If you're praying for them, you're loving them, you're showing compassion for them. That's why you're praying. And we certainly hope God's going to answer, don't we? Otherwise, you wouldn't be praying. We are praying, hoping God's going to answer. And, saying something is better than saying nothing. I mean, these are all reasons why people pray. Think about it. You know, it's an awkward moment. Awkward, somebody pray. Get out of the awkward moment, somebody pray. Because you say something rather than say nothing. Okay? But have you ever thought about the fact the Bible tells us that we're supposed to know the will of God actually before we pray? Now, that could be a little confusing. So let me ask you this. Are you praying to find out what His will is? Yes, you can. Or are you praying to have His will established? In other words, you know what His will is, and you're praying for His will to happen. Okay? Now, yes, there's. You know what? Maybe I should do that next week. Maybe I should get on to how to know His will. how to know his will, because that's also something that's very, very important. But have a look at John, 1 John chapter 5, and verse 14. It says this. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God when we pray. This is a confidence that we have. That if we ask anything, everybody say anything. That's wide open. If we ask anything and now it gets shut down, listen, according to his will. So it started wide and then it got narrowed right down. If we're asking according to his will, he hears us. So if we're not praying according to his will, it doesn't sound like he hears us, right? You see the problem? See, your mind is racing right now because you say, well, God hears me all the time. I can prove that. Why don't you just go ahead and swear right now and just blaspheme? And no, because he'll hear me. Well, what confidence that you have in God that he only hears the bad stuff coming out of your mouth and not the good stuff? See, the picture you might have of God might be a very negative picture, that he's the old man with a big stick making a note of every time you miss it. And, oh, got that one. You didn't think that one passed me? Uh-uh. Got you there. He's not a gotcha God. But some of us kind of have a relationship that way. Verse 15 says, and if we know that he hears us. Well, that's the big problem. How do we know he hears us? And this said, if we know that he hears us. Well, maybe we don't know that he's hearing us. That's why if the answer doesn't come, tomorrow we'll pray again, because obviously he didn't hear us. And if we don't get it tomorrow, then we'll play the next day, because obviously he didn't hear us. So is he away on vacation? Is he taking a holiday somewhere? Is he sleeping? Why isn't he hearing us? If you swear and blaspheme, he hears, but how come he doesn't hear you when you pray? How many say that's enough questions, Pastor Henry? Move on. I'm not done with the questions. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. We know that we have what we asked of him. Notice that's a present tense. It's a past tense. It says, if he hears us, then we know that we have it. If he hears us, we know we have it. In other words, we don't have to bug him tomorrow for the same thing if he heard us. How many of you have raised children and know that children have a way of asking you for the same thing 1,000 times until you absolutely wear out, cave in, and give it to them? Hello? Do you think God is the same way? Do you think that if we keep on bugging him over and over and over and over, we will eventually wear him out? Do you understand that he's been around for eternity and you here for 70 years? There's no way that you vapor little shh is going to wear him out. He's got eternity still after it. You're not going to wear him out. Not going to happen. You're going to wear you out. You're going to get tired, and then you're going to say, God doesn't care, he doesn't love me, he is not listening to what I'm saying, why should I even bother going to church? There's no help coming from heaven. You see what happens? We get despondent because we don't have the answer. The reason is that we actually haven't prayed the way God wants us to pray. And seriously, there is a way he wants us to pray. So, the Bible says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, why should we believe that God heard our prayer? Why should we believe God heard our prayer? What's the confidence that we should have that he heard our prayer? Well, let me first say this. The biggest problem that we have to overcome is our feelings and the facts. Our feelings and the facts. Because both the feelings and the facts can mislead you as to whether God heard you or not. And can mislead you as to whether God is answering, as to whether you're getting it. Because when you pray and the facts don't change, then we assume, because the facts haven't changed, that he didn't hear me. Say, oh me, that's the truth, right? That's what happens. The facts don't change. Then we think we have to pray again because obviously he didn't hear. What happens if we pray and we feel just as bad after praying? We don't feel any better. Then we assume that our feelings are telling us God did not hear us because I would feel better if he heard me. I feel like I'm preaching really good. But I only feel like I'm preaching really good. Gotcha, huh? You see, it doesn't matter what I feel about how I'm doing this job. The results in your life is what's going to count. Okay? Because you see, I've got the same devil harassing me right now as you have. And the devil's telling me I'm doing a bad job. He's telling me I'm messing up. He's telling me you're saying the wrong thing. He's telling me you're stumbling over your words and you're misquoting scripture and you shouldn't even be there. You don't even have a right to be there. You don't qualify to be there. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Yeah. That's what he's doing. I promise you. You said there's no devil in here. I said, you want to bet there's a devil in here? I won't promise you the devil. We wouldn't have so many people in here if there wasn't some devils in here. Devil's attached to people. Devil's attached to people. Okay, you don't believe me. Listen. Okay, don't get upset with me. Don't get upset with me. Listen. Jesus was breaking bread. He was on his communion, his Last Supper. Okay? Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's got 12 people around him. Disciples, been with him for 3 years. Who shows up? Who? The devil. And who did he get into? Judas. And Jesus couldn't stop him. Yeah, Jesus was having church meeting with his disciples and the devil showed up right in the midst of the meeting. All right, are you listening to me now? Listen. See, the same devil that's harassing me that arrests Jesus, that arrests his disciples, is harassing you sitting out there, trying to get you offended with me. I am never coming back to this church. He said, I've got a devil. See? See, the devil said that to you. I didn't say that to you. I said the person behind you. I learned a new one, see? Okay, so no. Don't let the devil lie to you about that. Just brush him off. Okay, he's a loser, right? Loser. Now, don't let your feelings or the facts dictate to you whether or not God heard you. Another thing is this. When we're talking about believing God heard us, we're actually talking about faith. We're saying, I'm using my faith to believe. Now, faith is not a sixth sense. It has nothing to do with this natural body. And the natural body senses, the five physical senses that we have, cannot tell you whether you have faith or not. Cannot. If it can't tell you that you have faith, it can't tell you that you don't have faith. So even if you have pain, depression, unhappiness, you can't then turn around and say, well, I have these symptoms, therefore I don't have faith. The symptoms in your body have got nothing to do with the faith in your heart. And the symptoms in your body are probably facts. They're real. They're there. They're facts. But that doesn't mean you still don't have faith. Faith and facts are two different things. Faith and emotions are two different things. Faith and the five physical senses are two different things. So you can't depend on your five physical senses to tell you whether God heard you or not. Because he hears you because of your faith. Are you listening this morning? Okay. All right. Stick with me now. So, what can we base our confidence on? The Word. We base our confidence on the Word. Okay? So, according to the scripture we just read, we can base our confidence on this. If we prayed according to his will. If we prayed according to his will, the Bible says he heard us and we have it. So his will, he hears it, we have it. His will, he hears it, we have it. Got it? So his will is critical. question is, how can I know His will before I pray? Because I've got to pray according to His will. Then He hears it. If I pray according to His will, He hears it. But Pastor Henry, what happens if I'm actually praying for His will? If I want to know His will? But that's a different thing. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed and He said, Lord God, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to die. I don't want to take this from the world. Is there another way that You can do this? Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. So He surrendered to the will of God because He knew what was coming and He didn't want to go through with it. Okay? The book of James says this about businessmen. Don't be saying, I'm going to go to that city or this city and trade and make a profit and stay there a year. You should be praying, if it be Your will, that I'll be going to that city and I'll be trading and living and making a profit. Now, you understand something. Both people, both Jesus and James, is saying that when it comes to your future and the decisions you have to make in your future, you should absolutely be asking God, what is Your will concerning my future? What is Your will concerning my future? Do You want me to take this job? Do You want me to get that house? Do You want me to move to Texas? Do You want me to do this? Do You want me to go in the ministry? What is Your will concerning me? And God's will concerning you would obviously be in your best interest. It's in your best interest. He wants the best for you. He has a plan for you. So yes, you could be asking what His will is. But if it's not about your future, if it's not concerning something that's in the future, because God said He will show you the future, if it's something else, then you're supposed to know His will before you pray. Let me give you a for instance, okay? And we're going to get to there. His will is in fact His word. If it is written in the Bible, it is His will. If it's written in the Bible, it's His will. Okay, now don't be silly and take the scripture, you know, Judas went and hanged himself, you know, and think, okay, now I've got His will for my life. Okay, that is just silly. Okay, just don't do something. You need help. Seriously, if that's what you, if you're going to twist the scriptures that much, then you seriously need help. And my preaching is not going to do it for you. Okay? If you have got to find out what the Bible says about the project. What does God's word say about it? So the authority of God's word is crucial because we have to base our confidence on the authority of God's word. Now, you see, here's the problem that I have. Many preachers will actually rob people of their confidence in God's word by saying stuff that's contrary to the word or casting doubt on the word of God. And that, my dear friend, is a huge problem. Because if you rob people of their confidence in God's word and the authority of God's word, you will rob them of God's power from operating in their life. Conversely, if you are able to help people gain confidence in God's word, you will actually help them to release God's power in their life. So my job, and I focused on this my entire ministry, my whole Christian ministry, my job is to try and get you to lift the level of confidence that you have in God's word. That's my job. The greater the confidence you have in God's word, the greater will be the manifestation of His power in your life. Okay? So, watch this. In John 1 and 1, New Testament, John 1, 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God. Where was the Word? Where? With God in the very, very, very beginning. The Word was there. Then it says the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, they refer to the word as He. Who are they talking about? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. So, Jesus was in the beginning with God. He was the Word of God. Now, through Him, through Jesus, all things were made, and without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So, who does the Bible say the word is? Actually says the word is Jesus, or you could say the word is God, which means I cannot separate the word of God from God. They're one. Can't separate them. Just as much as I can't separate you from your word. You are your word. What you say, everybody will judge you by. That's your character. Your word is your character. So you and your character come out of your mouth. That's where it happens. So God and His word are one. You can't separate them. They are the same. Now, when I read the Bible, God is actually speaking to me personally. So my quiet time when I'm reading the Bible, that is God's word, and He is speaking to me. Now, of course, bear in mind that I still have to understand the dispensations, and I have to understand the covenants, because I don't want to be taking stuff out of its place and start to make application for it. All right, son, now you have to go and kill 3 lambs, a bull, and pour oil on that spot. Yo. And then the police pick you up, and then you phone me. Then I'm in a slippery situation. Okay? You can't be messing the word up that badly and wonder why it's not working. Okay, so you obviously have to understand what was for the Old Covenant, what was for the Jews, and what isn't. Otherwise, you're getting yourself into a big mess. But what's the similarities between God and His Word? They're both eternal. They're both unchanging. Never changes. God's Word never changes. He doesn't change. God is alive. The Word is alive. They're living. Both of them are living. God is present tense right now, and the Word of God is present tense. And furthermore, God is the Spirit, and the Word of God is Spirit. Did you know that? Look at those similarities between the two. So, many Christians fall into this trap where they allow reasoning to replace the Word. They allow reasoning to replace the Word. In other words, their opinions are more valuable to them than what God said. And here we've got a problem, right there. Okay? When I talk to anybody, I counsel anybody or just have conversation with anybody, I quickly try and find out whether they believe the Word of God is absolute final authority and whether they're willing to take it as it stands. Do you believe it? Will you live by it? Do you accept it? Because if you do not base your life on the Word of God, I have nothing to say to you. Absolutely nothing. If you choose to live by your opinions or your reasoning rather than what the Scripture says, you're on your own. It's on your own. And you know, opinions cost nothing. Nothing. At a drop of a hat, somebody will give you their opinion. Another one. Okay, that's just my opinion. God's word produces life. You need to understand this is so valuable if you can get this. In John 6 and 63, Jesus said, the Spirit gives life. Talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives life. Say that with me. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, Jesus said, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So the words coming out of Jesus' mouth, He said, were not just noise. They were actually spirit, and they were actually life-giving words. So because of that, I could say this. Because the word is spirit, it gives life. True? Okay, so say that with me. Because the word is spirit, it gives life. Say this. Because the word is spirit, it gives life to me. Say, I have life in me because I have the word in me. So in other words, if you can get the word into you, you will have spirit in you, Holy Spirit, and you will have spirit life. You'll have God's life in you. Not only in your inner man, but also in your flesh. You'll have God's life in your flesh. This life is alive and active. It's not dead life. It's alive. It really is life. Now, Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's alive. The Word of God is alive. It's alive and it's powerful. You see, if the Bible is just left on the side table at night, by your bedside, you never open it, you never crack it open, the life that's in that book cannot get into you. The life has got to come from that book, from those words, and get into your heart and into your mind and into your whole being. You've got to have the life of God in your being. Because the power of God in your life is limited to the amount of word in your life. The amount of power, God's power, in your life is limited to the amount of word in your life. It is not God that's limiting his power. He is all powerful and always has been all powerful. But his power cannot operate in you except you have his word in you. Jesus said, if my word abides in you and you abide in me, then whatever you ask will be done for you. Then you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And the word of God is the power of God and the life of God and can't be separated from his spirit. They're one and the same. We've proved that. Are you listening to me? And you see, I love being Pentecostal. I love to dance and shout and scream and worship. But I promise you something. All of that exterior motion doesn't produce a thimble of God's power in my life. The thing that produces the power in my life is the quality and quantity of word that I've put into my heart and renewed my mind with. That is what is producing the power. You don't have to jump and shout and scream to have the power of God in your life, but you have to demonstrate it at some time. You have to demonstrate the power at some time. It's got to come out. Because if you're filled with the word, it's going to come out. Amen? It's got to come out. It's true. All right. Remember, Mary said this to the angel, according to your word, let it be done to me. According to your word, according to what the angel was saying, let it be done to me. And that was found in Luke 1:37. As the angel came to him and said, for with God, nothing is ever impossible. Right? We know that. God's not the problem. With God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God, no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Now, you need to get this. I'm going to separate something from you here, and I don't want you to get mad at me. I want you to understand. I want you to get the understanding. Okay. Let's see if this will live. No, that won't come off. Yeah. Is there one that's loose here? That's not going to work. Okay. There's a leftover piece of communion. Sorry, Lord. I'm not trying to be sacramentous. There's no such word. Anyway. Okay. If this was a word that came out of God's mouth, if that was a word that got him out of God's mouth, that word is powerful and according to Scripture, shall not be without power. There's power in it. Okay? Power in it. Or be impossible of fulfillment. You could never say there's no power in that word, and you could never say that can't come to pass. It has to come. Well, let me not say it has to come to pass. Let me say what the Scripture says, impossible of fulfillment. That doesn't mean it will come to pass. And though it's filled with power, it doesn't mean that that power is going to be released. It contains the power. The DNA is full of power. It has the potential of coming to pass, but it doesn't mean it will automatically come to pass. Because your faith is what ignites that word and releases it. The power that's inside that word comes out when you, like Mary, say, "Let it be done to me according to your word." And you draw that word into yourself and you embrace that word for you. Because no word of God shall be without power. That means every word of God has power. And if Christians today understood the value and the power of God's word, then they too would be saying, just like Mary, "Let it be done to me according to your word." So when you read in the scripture, "Let it be done to me." You see, the Bible tells us that God himself is watching over his word to perform it. Doesn't it say that? Jeremiah 1:12, "I'm alert, I'm active, I'm watching over my word to form it." Did Jesus not say this? The scripture cannot be broken. He said it. The scripture cannot be broken, cannot be set aside, cannot be canceled or annulled. Now, let's take what we've just learned this morning and let's apply this to prayer for healing. Something that we may need in our lifetime or somebody else might need that you know, a loved one. So how do we pray for healing? How do we pray? Is there a way to pray? Well, I will cover that in detail at the Bible school. I will cover that in absolute detail from site to site. So when you come out of the Bible college, you will know how to minister to anybody who's sick and get them healed. Okay? But for this Sunday, and for you, let me say this. Before you pray about anything, I'm going to suggest that A, you find out if it's God's will for you to have it. Okay? Here's a stupid example. You're already married, and you're asking God if you can have another woman as a wife as well. Or you're asking God, "Is it okay if I divorce the woman I'm with and marry that other woman because she's hot, 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 hot. And I know she'll make me happy, happy, happy." How many of you know that that is stupid? Okay? And seriously, you'd have to come from Duck Dynasty to even think that. But they're Christians, so they wouldn't be thinking that. Okay? They wouldn't be thinking that. But you'd be amazed to find out how many Christians do other stuff that is just as stupid. Okay? Now, why would they do that? The reason they do that is because actually they don't know the scriptures. The Bible, Jesus said, "You err because you don't know the scriptures." That's why you've got problems. Okay? So remember, now we want to pray about a certain thing. Now we have to find out if it's God's will for us to have it or not. If it's God's will for you to go without it, do you think that begging and crying and pleading and throwing a tantrum and having communion 5 times a day and giving 10%, 20%, 30% is going to change his mind? If God has said no, that's no. But if God has said yes, then no devil in hell, no human being, no king, no queen, no politician should be able to stop you from having it if God has said yes. You agree with me? Okay, so we've got to find out, is it a yes or it's a no? Is God saying it's okay or it's not okay? Got to know. So, if you're praying about your future, you've got to be asking God, first of all, is it your will about the future? Should I have that or not? But if it's something that's in the book that you can read, you go to the book and you find out. So let's say we now want to know about healing. We're sick or somebody that we know is sick and we want to pray for them. Is it God's will? We've got to find out. So we go to 1 Peter 2:24. One of the scriptures, you do your own research, and it says, "He himself," talking about Jesus, "bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin, live for righteousness. By his wounds You have been healed. So Jesus paid a price, and by his wounds or by his stripes, what he suffered, you have been healed. Talking about physical body, you've been healed. We know he shed his blood for our sin to be cleansed and washed away and for us to be forgiven. But his body was beaten and mutilated so that we could have healing. He paid the price for us to have healing. Agreement? There it is. So it says so. By his wounds. What did Jesus say about praying for the sick? Well, in Luke 10 and verse 8, Jesus said this to his disciples. When you enter into a town and you're welcomed, eat what they set before you. Heal the sick. Do you see that? Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. So what do you think, friends? What do you think? What do you think the will of God is concerning healing? Is it, okay, now let me put this extended out. Is it the will of God to heal everybody? Is it the will of God to heal you? Is it the will of God to heal your children? Is it the will of God to heal your family, your friends? Are you sure? 100% confident about it. Well, you're correct, because we have it right here in the Bible that actually Jesus did this. He paid the price so that we could be healed, so our friends, our relatives could be healed. He said so, okay? Now, because I know his will, I can pray with confidence, and I could go back to my opening scripture. If I pray according to your will, you hear me. So if I have a sick person in front of me, or even if I'm sick, I can say, Lord, based on 1 Peter 2:24, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you to heal me, or I'm asking you to heal the person I'm praying for right now. And it's legitimate. Trust me, let's not argue about the healing process. It is legitimate. It's one of the seven ways to obtain healing is to simply ask. Whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, he'll grant it to you. So it's a legitimate method of getting healing taken. Okay? Legitimate method. Healing the sick by asking the Father in Jesus' name. So I can pray that prayer and know that I'm praying according to his will. And if I pray according to his will, then I know that he hears me. And if I know he hears me, then I have the very thing I've asked of God, and I don't have to let the facts, my emotions, or my feelings dictate to me whether or not God heard my prayer or whether or not he answered. I have the faith to believe that God's word is emphatically true, and if I do what he said in his word to do, then I have accomplished my side of it and that God will do the rest. You understand? Now, I know what's going through some of your minds. Well, what if it's not his will to heal them? Well, you've got to go back to scripture and you've got to find out whether it is his will or not. So what happens? You pray for them and they die. That is absolutely not your problem. Your problem, your responsibility, is to do your best to follow the written word of God. To follow it out to the letter. To say, oh God, there's a sick person here and I love them. And I'm praying for them in Jesus' name right now. That you raise them up right now and that they be healed. And you step back and you don't withdraw your faith from the prayer that you prayed. You don't ever step back and withdraw your faith. You don't ever let the feelings or the facts change the fact that you prayed according to the will of God and according to the word of God. That's what happened. That's what you did. That's all you're supposed to do. Don't get confused. You are not God. Let's not reverse the roles. You are not God. You are actually not the healer. You are the prayer. God is the healer, always will be, and it's his word that he is watching over to perform. We have to put our faith and our trust in him. But we have to pray with confidence and know that we're praying according to his will. Therefore, he hears us. So now, any topic that you're facing in life, any subject, any topic whatsoever, any issue that you're facing in life, if you can find a scripture that covers that topic, covers that situation, you can pray according to his will with confidence because you've got it written in the word. God and his word are one. God and his word are eternal. Now remember, if I had prayed for Andrew according to the scripture, and laid hands upon him, and said out of my mouth, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Did I quote the scripture? Is that the word of God I just quoted? Did that word of God have life? Did it have power? Was it spirit? And it went into Andrew. The word I spoke went into Andrew. It has life. God's watching over to perform it. It is spirit, and it's now currently working in his flesh. It's at work in his flesh. You understand? I just imparted to him spirit and life and the power of God into him so that it can work in him to produce the result. That's enough for today. Okay? Every eye closed. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is spirit and your word is causing us to live and to know you in a greater measure. Lord, you said, grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through these great and precious promises, we partake of the divine nature, the nature of God in his word, the spirit of God and the life of God in his word. We partake of that spirit as we partake of the promises. We thank you for your life that's in us. Oh, friend, while I'm praying, if you have not asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, do you know how much you're missing out on? Do you understand that you don't have the power of God in your life? Do you understand what it's like to go through life without a relationship with Father God? Friend, you don't want to do this. I believe God brought you to this place this morning so that you could enter into a relationship with him. He loves you so much. He died on the cross for you and gave his life so that he and you could be friends, that he could be your father, that heaven could be your home. And you never have to worry again if God is pleased with you or not. That's why you're here. He wants to assure you of his love and his presence in your life. If you have not yet received Jesus, would you do so today? Would you just wave your hand at me wherever you are and waving your hand and say, it's Pastor Henry, pray for me. I would like to receive Jesus. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not even sure I'll go to heaven when I die. I'd like to go, but I'm not sure. I want to receive the salvation God provided for me through Jesus' death on the cross. I want to do it today. Today. I'm not going to wait another minute. If that's you, would you quickly wave your hand at me wherever you are? If you haven't received the Holy Spirit yet and your prayer language and you'd like to receive this morning, just wave your hand. You don't have to go another minute. You don't have to go another day. Just wave your hand where you are. You will receive this morning, I promise you. If you need me to agree with you in prayer, lay hands upon you for healing in your physical body, wave your hand at me. If today's the day that you want to receive and you're trusting the Lord, just wave your hand at me. Today's the day. Today's the day. Okay, today's the day. I tell you what we're going to do. I want those who wave their hands for healing just to stand to your feet. Go ahead, stand to your feet. I'm going to call the congregation into action. So I want you guys to open your eyes. I want you to look and see where somebody's standing. I want you to gather around them. I'm going to pray the prayer. You lay your hands upon them. You agree with me. You have the life of God in you. You have the word of God in you. And we're going to speak that word out. So let's have people around about lay their hands upon them. Please. Please. I want you to be a conduit today. I want you to be a conduit today for that anointing to flow through you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, as a congregation, in obedience to your word, we lay our hands upon these folk that have stood for healing. And we know absolutely, emphatically, according to Scripture, that says by his stripes they were healed, that it is your emphatic will for them to be made whole, for them to be healed, for them no longer to suffer one more day. That we draw an end to it And Lord, corporately, we put our faith together and we release the power of God into them by simply stating to them now, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Let's say it, church. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Believe right now that that anointing has been imparted to them, that the life of God is being imparted to them. It's at work in their flesh. The power of God in that word now is coming to pass in their life. We will not retract our faith as we stand in agreement with you. And you said, if two shall agree on earth, it shall be done for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. There is